Welcome back to the Dr. Andrew Show here on News Talk FM 95.9 and AM 1370 WGCL. Here this week with a very special guest, Dr. Amy Rothenberg, the New England School of Homeopathy. And you're a naturopathic physician. And we were talking a little bit about some of the, well, differences and similarities, or some of the principles involved with naturopathic treatment. And I hope you could describe that a little bit more.
Yeah. I want to do a quick run through our philosophy. I feel that one of the things that I love most about being a naturopathic physician is the philosophical underpinnings of my approach to medicine. So the first one, like all physicians, is basically do no harm. You know, we don't want to hurt our patients. So that's one. That's kind of a given. The second one is looking at the patient as a whole person. So instead of just looking at the elbow that comes in with the bursitis, or the head that comes in with the migraines, or the hands that come in with the arthritis, I really try to see whatever the complaint that the patient has in the context of the rest of their physical body, as well as more of their mental, emotional, sort of psychosocial place at that point in their life. And that often can help me a lot in understanding why they might have gotten sick in the first place, and to help me think about ways to help them reduce the different stresses in their lives that push them toward imbalance and then symptomatology.
So based on that, if a person seeing a naturopathic physician came in and said, Dr. Rothenberg, I'm having severe left elbow pain, what would that visit look, sound like?
Yeah, I would want to know everything from when it began, what makes it better, what makes it worse, do they have any concomitant symptoms, so symptoms at the same moment in time somewhere else in their body, and is their overall health in other ways impacted by that particular complaint? So I might prescribe very locally for that problem in the arm, but I'm going to also be helping that person to figure out what can they do ergonomically, perhaps, at their desk at work, or related to some of their leisure activities that might work.
Or sleep habits.
The sleep habits, absolutely. You know, how much wood are they carrying in from the wood pile? things like that. So philosophically, we're looking at do no harm, treating the whole person. We're looking at the body's natural ability to heal itself, and what can we do to stimulate the body's inborn abilities to move toward health. And sort of regardless of what your religious beliefs are, your philosophical beliefs are, there is a way in which the human body is designed to decrease inflammation and heal itself.
Absolutely.
And what can we do to get the things that are in the way of that out of the way, and to kind of promote people's physical body, as well as the more mental and emotional pieces as well, move toward a better state of balance. When people are in a better state of balance, they tend to get sick less. I think that could be said for most people.
Yeah, yeah. So balance is a major underpinning
it is.
The way you think about what's going on with the body. Is that right?
It is. And you know, we're all to varying degrees off balance because life throws different stressors at us, and we can't always juggle them all. And a lot of demands, and particularly right now, I find in my practice the economy for a lot of people has been so challenging, and it just adds a whole other layer of and a whole other level of stress for a lot of families right now.
You know, one of the ways that I think is that the difference between what may be mental or emotional or physical is spiritual is maybe a lot less than we thought.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, the way that our mental and our emotions are conveyed through us, there's a chemical mediator.
Yeah.
There are neurotransmitters involved.
Yeah.
And so it's not as big a difference as it sounds like when you say a mental versus a physical response.
I mean, the entire field of psychoneuroimmunology is kind of built on this understanding and burgeoning at this time.
Yeah.
So we're also looking at the role of the doctor as teacher. You know, the original meaning of the word doctor, it really is teacher. And I spend a lot of time with my patients teaching, whether it's around food or exercise or parenting or home remedies that can be used at the first signs of acute illness. I take very seriously the job of teaching, as opposed to me being the doctor where the person comes in and ta-da, I do something to them, on them, for them, that they get better. I'm much more interested in sharing information,
empowering
patients, and inspiring them to remember that it's not such a long time ago that people did a lot of medicine and healing in the privacy of their own homes.
Yes.
And that has come away from the particularly mothers, grandmothers, you know, a lot of the women's line with the advent of more Orthodox medicine through the 1900s. So it's not that I want to go back to 1850, Little House on the Prairie, not that, but by the same token, I really don't want people to feel so disempowered that when the kid gets a little bit of a sniffles or there's a little bit of an upset stomach or they have to run to the doctor or run to the ER, because obviously our medical system, we know, can't handle that, A. And B, it's not appropriate. And there's lots of wonderful, inexpensive, relatively easy to describe, use, and effective approaches that people can use at home, particularly for the treatment of acute and first aid sorts of issues.
Well, you bring up a great point, and I don't want to digress too much at all, but one of my frustrations that I have felt in response to this sort of national and government-based debate about healthcare is we're spending a tremendous time, energy, discussing the best ways to provide health care, and we're talking absolutely zero about health.
It's so true.
It makes no sense.
It's so true. It's really true. I know that my national association, the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, has its main headquarters in Washington, D.C., and they have spent a lot of time trying to kind of butt their heads into a lot of different levels around healthcare reform, talking a lot about prevention and what could be done in terms of the insurance industry to further their positive impulse to get people moving, you know, more exercise, eating better, stopping smoking, less drinking, et cetera.
Incentivize them.
Yes, exactly.
And what a great tool, you know. Government is particularly well positioned to do that, yet there's no discussion about it.
It's so true. And then just the last point philosophically for me as a naturopathic physician, I'm interested in using products that are gentle and that are natural and that themselves have do not cause side effects, do not cause undo problems that just layer on top of other problems. I mean, the classic example I can give you is a little girl I saw in my practice. She was a competitive gymnast, really, you know, quite highly ranked gymnast. And she was developing knee problems and was put on a high dose of daily anti-inflammatory medication. Well, of course, you know, little tiny pixie that she was, she then started to develop gastroesophageal reflux from the anti-inflammatory medications. So she was given some medications to help with the reflux, which caused her to have tremendous headaches. And when I saw her several months into this process, she came in with still ongoing knee pain, terrible reflux, very bad headaches, and depression, because the whole thing was very depressing. So here we had a situation where if we would have seen her earlier and could have prevented and worked with the treatment of the inflammation of the joints, which I think is a pretty straightforward thing to do in a young, healthy child. She didn't have juvenile RA or anything like that. She was just overusing her joints. So we could have prevented the stomach issues, we could have prevented the headaches, we certainly could have prevented the depression, and it was a case where I felt it was total medical failure. And her parents were so powerless in it all. They were then about to be putting her on an antidepressant, at which point they came to see me, thank goodness, and we were able to sort of back paddle and kind of unwind from that whole year of just illness and disease that was troubling.
One thing I love about getting to do this show is talking to people of, you know, who come from really different backgrounds than me a lot of times is finding out what is similar. I mean, I recently had a patient. She came in and had seen a lot of different docs, and her problem was osteoporosis. And come to find out that her bone density had been fine until very recently, but she... also similarly, was put on a medicine that caused reflux. The reflux caused her to have asthma symptoms. Then they put her on a steroid inhaler, and the steroid inhaler caused her several different types of problems. And, you know, it was so nice to be able to help a patient by getting rid of stuff, not adding it. That's a principle I go by. But I think one thing that happens to a lot of allopathic physicians has little to do with their philosophy or training, but the setup and the way we're paid and those type of things that promote, okay, tell me the problem, here's the fix. Tell me the problem, here's the fix. As opposed to being able to sit down, really listen to someone and take in their whole condition and make a more informed decision. And most docs I know, if they're given that opportunity, will come pretty close to a good answer.
Yeah.
Yet their setup.
Right. The setup doesn't allow for it.
Doesn't allow it.
Yeah. I mean, our first visits for patients are scheduled an hour and a half.
Hmm.
And that's a luxury. I mean, it's truly a luxury. And I can't tell you the number of people who will say to me, you know, I've never told the doctor all of that.
Right.
And our follow-up visits for patients with chronic disease are half an hour. So we can really maintain that relationship and that ability to understand how that person is responding to our therapies and what else is going on in their lives. And being informed as the doctor and taking the time, I think itself is very healing. I find that the time with the patients, I'm trying to create a sort of sanctuary in time where that's a place the patient can come and really feel heard and understood, and we can take the time that we need to share at a level that itself, I think, adds to the healing abilities of the actual therapies that I might use.
Sure. Gosh, yeah. I love hearing that. I wouldn't say I always get there, but that's also the way I try to think about the way I do my office, the way I do my visit schedules, the way I time them.
Yeah.
And, most of my patients, if they're listening, know me, I'll tend to run behind. But it's because...
You're running ahead.
You can't rush it. Very good. Well, we'll take a break again and be right back here on the Dr. Andrew Show.